Good morning. I wanted to tell you guys a little secret. But if I'm telling you, I guess it doesn't make it a secret anymore, I guess. It's not really a secret. It's kind of like a secret society. I sometimes think of it as a mysterious group of women who love being Jesus followers and don't really want to be in the limelight. I mean, don't get me wrong. We do many things to tell the world that we love Jesus, but there are also many times that we simply do something nice for someone to shine his light. And we don't really want our names attached to that. We do our best to give credit where it belongs, God. But more than doing nice things, our covenant group was formed under Wesleyan's guidelines. Now, don't tell Kathy, but I didn't understand why we had to have rules when all I wanted to do was chat with the ladies. But I learned along the way that these overarching rules for a covenant group are extremely important to keep all of us focused and strong on our walks. And I also learned that these ladies kept me accountable to the ways in which I may be failing in my relationship with God. They can be tough, but I don't know what I would do without them now on my journey. And so when Kathy and I were praying in the chapel about what to talk about today with you, we were led to Malachi. I am telling you, friends, God weaves a tapestry that we may not see or understand at first, but just you wait. Go with me here for a minute, and you will see how God has brought all of this together. You know how some days you look around and you're like, here we go again, same old, things are humdrum. Everything is pretty normal, whatever your definition of normal is. I go through these phases, but I'm going to be honest with you here. During those times when things seem status quo, I find that I may have relaxed a little too much. I do things like I leave the lights on around the house because I'm just too lazy to go turn them off. It's not important anymore. I stop working out altogether, or sometimes just not as much as I should be. My well-balanced family meals turn out to be Johnsonville's, throw it onto the grill, and some mac and cheese. And house cleaning? That isn't even on my radar. I have my cup of coffee in the morning and conversation with my family, but no conversation or devotions with the Lord. I could go on and on about the lackadaisical rhythms I get into, and I am sure most of you can relate. In Malachi, which, as Pat told us, is the last book of the Old Testament, this is basically what was happening. Their normal daily living had pushed out God to the margins of their lives, and most of their attention was internal. They knew God was there, but they treated him as a mere hobby or diversion and did not actively seek him in their daily activities. I believe that we can all relate to that, too, at some point in our lives. Malachi, which literally means my messenger, starts making others aware that they are in crisis, that their normal has defiled God. Defiled God. The book of Malachi is waking them up, and us as well, by pointing out that all we are concerned about is us and our own priorities. And boy, does he call them out. It is important to know that the book of Malachi was written by an unknown author during a time period that the Persians were in power. Persia's king Darius had given the Jews permission to rebuild their temple, and they did that. But the Persian Empire posed a great challenge to the Jews, who were tempted to pledge allegiance to a king instead of God. The people had lost their ways, and it was a time of discouragement and conflict. So here's this guy, Malachi, who starts by giving the word of the Lord to the people by saying, "I have loved you, says the Lord." This was a gift that God gave them, an assurance of his faithfulness. And then right away he goes into, "But you say, how have you loved us?" The book starts with the people confronting God like spoiled children, with a "what have you done for us" mentality. It goes on in Malachi 1:6 to say, "A son honors a father, and a servant honors his master. But if I'm a father, where is my honor? Or if I'm a master, where is my respect?" says the Lord of heavenly forces. It is at this point that God earnestly starts to talk to the priests and gives them specific examples of how they have despised his name. He tells them that they have placed polluted food on his altar, and that they have closed the door to his temple so that others cannot see that they are truly not worshiping him at all. The temple was sacred, and the priest had forgotten that. These acts were done by the priests, who were seemingly unaware there were any issues at all. Have we fallen into personal, what we believe are normal patterns of our lives, that we aren't even aware defile God? Have we forgotten the sacred practices of prayer, devotion, worship, and our covenant with the one true King? Are we like the priest and only offer convenient parts of our day up to him when it fits our schedules? Do we come to worship and fake our way through it without taking time to first seek him and ask him to fill us with his holy presence, to let the word transform us and not us transform it? And who is telling us that our normal may not be aligned with him? Are we going at it alone like the priests and are unaware that there are any issues at all?
Wow. Those are some good questions. Good, but tough questions. Keeping covenant is important. So important that the word covenant is mentioned approximately 280 times in the Old Testament and 30 times in the New Testament, depending on which translation you're reading. But keeping covenant is also hard, really hard. And we aren't the only ones who have trouble being in relationship and keeping covenant with our Creator. In the story of the Bible, it seems that everyone abandons their relationship with God. The Bible talks about our partnership with God and refers to it as a promise or a covenant. Covenant is God's promise to us. It's God's personal relationship with us. God created, and then he wants humans to partner with God, but we see in the book of Genesis that humans want to do things on their own, and so they break the partnership. But God is faithful to his partnership and this promise. So God makes new partnerships with four smaller groups in the Old Testament, and through covenant with these families, God will restore partnership with the entire world. And even though God knew that humans were unable to remain faithful, God continues to provide opportunities. God's first covenant was with Noah. God promised Noah, I will not flood the world again. And God asks nothing of Noah in return. And then God creates a covenant with Abraham. And in return, he asks Abraham to trust and to train up his family to do what is right and just. Abraham's family grew into the tribe of Israel with whom God enters covenant again. And in return, he says to the tribe, I just need you to adhere to a set of laws for a right and faithful community. The tribe of Israel becomes a large nation ruled by David, and so God enters into covenant with King David, asking him to lead Israel and do what is right and just. But Israel breaks covenant and worships other gods and commits horrible injustices. So they lose their land and they are forced into exile, and all seems hopeless. But God sends messages through prophets that assures Israel that in spite of their failures, God will keep God's covenant promise. Jesus will come and fulfill all covenant relationships because he is from the family of Abraham. So he will bring the blessings of that family to all the world. And Jesus is the faithful Israelite and can truly obey the law. And Jesus is from the line of David, so he will extend the kingdom of justice and peace to all. In short, we were made to be a faithful covenant partner with the creator of the universe, but we have failed. So God sent Jesus. And through Jesus, God has opened up a way for anyone and everyone to be in a renewed covenant relationship with God and with each other. We are living in new covenant time. Praise God. But the question is, what are we doing with this time? I imagine if Malachi were right here in this sanctuary today, he would have the same convicting words for us that he had for the Israelites in Malachi 2:10, when he said, don't you know that we are all from one Father? Aren't we all created by the same God? So why can't we get along? Why do we desecrate the covenant of our ancestors that binds us together? Carmen shared with us, as the scripture says, Malachi tells the Israelites that what had become their normal, everyday behaviors was actually defiling to God. Defile is a really strong word. And if we read this scripture and say, what does that have to say to us today? I have to ask, what could we possibly be doing in the norms of our lives that defiles our Creator? It goes back to those tough questions that Carmen asked. Are we trying to find a place for Jesus to fit into our lives? Or instead, are we living in Jesus? And who is the Malachi? Who is the messenger in our daily lives telling us that our normal habits may be breaking covenant? Seriously, who is the person or the people in your lives holding you accountable to being faithful to prayers, presence, gifts, service, witness? It's not a rhetorical question. Shout it out. Who's holding you accountable? Anybody?
My husband.
Thank you. Pardon me? Perhaps ourselves, perhaps our partners. I actually do have an amazing group of women that hold me accountable to my discipleship journey and to my covenant with God and others. I'm a member of a covenant disciple group, CD group for short. It's the one that Carmen spoke of earlier. Today's covenant disciple groups are built on the premise of the small society groups that the United Methodist founder John Wesley formed. He realized that it was really difficult to be faithful in this world. You know, the Apostle Paul understood that too, as we see when he says in Romans 7:15, "Ugh, I don't know what I'm doing because I don't do what I want to do. And instead, I do the very things I hate." I get that. John Wesley got that. And so does the group of women that I walk with. And so began our journey into forming a covenant disciple group. We've been meeting for close to 3 years now. We met first to create a covenant, and this covenant was designed to help us to remain faithful to our spiritual disciplines, so that we could grow and mature as disciples, and so that we could care for one another's souls. It's because of the Holy Spirit and these women that my message looks differently this morning than it did when I left Thursday evening. It's the reason I found myself back in the office on Friday morning after we met. Keeping covenant is hard, and unless these women were in covenant relationship with me, I wouldn't be here today standing telling you this story. But I'm in covenant relationship with them, and they held me accountable. So here it goes. A few months ago at a church council meeting, we were discussing the two vacant properties that Calvary owns, and we were trying to decide what we should do with them and to have it be in adherence to our vision and our mission. John Humphrey and Greg Wheeler stepped up to organize a group to discern what God was calling us to do about that. And many others, including myself, have been in prayer about this. Since that time, God has revealed a few things. We have unmet needs that are actually opportunities to serve the community that God just keeps plopping right down here in front of Calvary. Did you know that on average, the Mount Airy Net serves 90 families that are in need? Did you know that on average, God's Kitchen serves about 125 meals on Thursday night? Did you know that the other week we served 100 children in Vacation Bible School? And we know for a fact that of those 100 children that registered, there are some that are from families that suffer from food insufficiencies. Just last week, the local elementary school called Calvary United Methodist Church and asked us to provide 10 backpacks filled with school supplies for children whose families could not afford the supplies. And last Sunday, at 8:30 in the morning, a congregation member carried a plate of breakfast out to someone who was looking for food in our dumpster. And then this past Thursday evening, two gentle souls showed up for God's Kitchen. But God's Kitchen is on a much-needed hiatus for their workers. Thanks be to God, Abigail Hilton was presenting her travel log, and the Newtons provided pizza that we could share with them. I have to be honest. I'm ashamed to admit that I was aggravated, because instead of being able to just sit and listen to Abigail Hilton's presentation, I had to care for two strangers. And in the end, I was blessed beyond measure to be able to sit and listen to their stories. You see, I live in a big house in a beautiful neighborhood, and I wear sunglasses to protect my eyes from the sun, and I have been blind to the homeless and the needy that live right here in our community. So I went home on Thursday evening and I said to my husband, "I do not know what is up with God and why I keep seeing all these people in need." And my husband, Doug, said, I know what you mean. Just today, I had a man ask me for money so that he could feed his daughter. And so Doug gave him $20 out of his wallet, and Doug doesn't normally have $20 in his wallet. He also mentioned that there's a person he continues to see in the community that he hadn't really seen before, and he sees him walking all the time on the street, and it's pretty obvious that this person is homeless. We talked about this a bit more, and I have to be honest with you, it was a struggling conversation for the two of us. And it ended with Doug saying, I don't know, maybe we need a house or something here in the community. And so it was laid on my heart, and it was on my mind when I woke up Friday morning. And it was what I asked my covenant disciple sisters to pray for me. I asked them to please help me to find some discernment about why God is showing me all these people in need that I hadn't seen before. And because we are in covenant together, they said, we'll be glad to pray for you, Kathy, but we think you already know what you need to do, and we think you need to get down on your knees and pray for the strength to do it. I revealed to them that on the way to CD group that morning, I had this fleeting thought that my message needed to be changed. So I left the CD group and found myself in the office reworking this message because they held me accountable to covenant by speaking the truth to me in love. Who is your Malachi? Who is your messenger? My CD group is mine, and because of them, I shared what God laid on my heart with all of you so that we can be in prayer together about how Calvary might care for those in need in our community and to discern if it involves the use of Calvary's existing empty properties. You know, originally I thought that God wanted me to share with you the importance of being involved in covenant disciple groups because I believe every Christian needs to be in a small accountability group. But as I wrote this, I realized that what the Holy Spirit has shown me is that because of my CD group that kept me accountable to my journey, and because of that, my faith has grown in such a way that it has not only allowed me to see clearly, but it placed on my heart a desire to serve. You see, I realize that my bi-monthly CD meetings are nothing more than a mere habit, defiling God and breaking covenant with our Creator and with all of my brothers and sisters, if I am not allowing myself to be intentionally transformed. In response to what my eyes have been open to, starting the fall, I will be serving once a month at God's kitchen and praying about how Calvary can do more. I invite you to join me. Pray. Join or form a covenant disciple group. Allow yourself to be transformed. Serve others in Christian love. Amen.